His mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for the Spirit of God that dwells on the inside of all of your believers, Lord. And you put an anointing, Lord, not only to speak the word, but for believers to hear the word. And we just have an expectation, Holy Spirit, that you'll reveal yourself to us. You'll reveal Jesus to us. And you'll reveal the Father to us. So we thank you for your word. We're grateful for your word. And we just give you all the praise and the glory. Amen. 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 God's good. It's always good to go back to school and to Rhema. And I get filled up every time I go. But it's always good to come back, right? And their worship, they've got a huge worship band. But I get as much out of the presence of God here as I do anywhere, because the Spirit of God is everywhere, right? And He says if you'll worship Him, if you'll praise Him, He'll inhabit the praises of His people, amen? And so it's kind of like, you know, we pray for God's presence to be here, but in the reality, if we really believe what the Bible says, His presence is here because we're here. Because we're called the temple of the Holy Spirit. What does a temple do? A temple's a building where something dwells. And it's equated to the temple in the Old Testament where His Spirit dwelt in Jerusalem, right? And they all had to come to Jerusalem. But He said, listen, the time's coming and now is when you're going to be that temple. So everywhere we go, the Holy Spirit is with us. Amen? Amen. And it's so good. It's so powerful. It's so wonderful. The last time I was here, and Lila did a great job last week. I'm so thankful. If you're watching, Lila, thank you so much. God is just faithful, bringing us people to speak and to talk. And, you know, I got to be with and sit with Pam and Steve Spear. And Steve's been with us before. And they have a Rhema Bible Training College in Poland. And so this is their first year. You know, it takes a long time to get established and to get going. But this is their first year of really doing the school. But it's going phenomenally. And they're uniting pastors around Poland. And for such a time as this, right? I mean, this is kind of a weird time we're living in. Does anybody feel that beside me? It's like, oh, you know. But as we were worshiping, the Lord spoke to me. He said, listen, it doesn't matter what time you're going in. I knew you were going to be here at this time and this hour. Right? And so don't get freaked out by everything that's going on. And man, it's easy to get freaked out. Because it's, and I'll get to my sermon, I promise. But we're living in a time where everything that was wrong is now right, and everything that's right is now wrong, and there's even now I heard this, I pray it's not true, but there's a bill in the state of Washington that if you don't go along with their political views or their social views, that the health department can come to you, take you away, and reprogram you. Hallelujah! Why? Because where the Spirit, where darkness is, much more the light of God is. And we're here and God is going to use us powerfully at this time. Glory to God. And we've got to make the determination that I'm crucified with Christ. And so, you know, death no longer has a hold of me and the fear of death has no part of me. So you want to kill me? Make my day. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But He'll give us the power. He'll give us the Spirit. He'll give us wisdom. He'll give us everything that we need to accomplish what He has us here for. Amen? Amen. Just this morning, and this is, I went to the office first, and then I come here. And I'm on the way coming here. I see going the other way on 16 fire trucks. And I'm thinking, Lord, wherever they're having to go, and I usually pray it this way when I see them, Lord, just keep them safe. Give them wisdom to deal with the situation. And I'm seeing fire trucks coming. And then I get here and I found out that the fire trucks went to my neighbor's house. She had been building, and she's a lady who's older. Her husband's died a few years ago, and she was building a fire in the basement or the first story fireplace, and I guess it just went up the walls and went over everywhere. Something was wrong with the flue, and I don't know, and so therefore, her house is no more, right? But I believe that we're going to be there for her, and God's going to use this to show His love for her. But there are lots of things that can happen, and you know, she came over and was with Renita in our house, and Renita prayed with her and talked to her and loved on her, and the bottom line is that wherever we are the presence of God to people, and even though it seems dark, and even though, you know, I've had people talk to me, if you're not for this or that or this, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I don't want to, you know, and that's kind of where the enemy's got us, right? He's got us right there. But I believe the love of God can come out of us in ways that can knock all that stuff away, right? And I believe even the revival is happening in Asbury and gone all over the country, where young people are just coming in and just worshiping God, and it isn't, there's no agenda. They won't allow somebody to come in to monopolize it. It's just the purity, and it's what we've been praying for and praying for and praying for and praying for, because it's going to take a move of the Spirit of God to win the lost, like Donnie was talking about, and we're believing for that. Amen? Amen. But I want to talk to you, I want to continue talking to you on the subject I was talking the week before last. And so if you're looking for a title, it's Praying in Tongues Part 2, or Praying in the Spirit Part 2. Many of us who've been filled with the Spirit, and like I told you last week, I got saved and filled with the Spirit when I knew nothing. And at the same time, I gave my heart to the Lord, and they asked me if I wanted all that God had for me, and I said, well, yeah, you know what I mean, yeah. Anyway, I got filled with the Spirit, received my prayer language in that same instance, and it's been in use in me ever since, and it's been very powerful for me. But I think that as a church and as a Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit-filled churches, I think we've gone away from what the fundamental issues and blessings are there are in praying in the Spirit. And I want to talk to you again this morning about it, and I want to encourage you, if you don't, to pray in the Spirit anytime you get a chance. And you have lots of chances, right? How many drive anywhere at any time? How many listen sometimes to senseless things on your radio? Some of you are... I'm a sports guy, so I like sports radio, and so I listen to the sports radio every once in a while, and it's just a waste of time. It flat is just a waste of time. Hallelujah. And so I could be praying in the Spirit, and I could be praying in the Spirit all the time. But anyway, let's go to Acts chapter 2. We'll start here again and then go from here. Part of this is going to be review from last time, and then I want to go a little bit deeper and a little bit further. And again, the purpose of this is, if you've never been filled with the Spirit, you can be, right? It's a gift from God, and we talked about that last week, that God has promised to anyone who'd ask. So, and the way that you get a gift is you receive a gift, right? But let's look at verse 1. It says, "Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There's many things in here, but Jesus said earlier, and we talked about that last week, you wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. And it talks about how he breathed on them. But he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to receive power. 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 What does that mean? It means ability to perform. Right? Ability to perform. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he's going to give you the ability to perform. Perform what? Perform the works that the church is supposed to perform on the earth. But specifically, me. When the Holy Spirit comes upon me, he's going to give me the ability or the power to do what God has called me to do. And the same thing with you. Now, we're not all called to do the same thing, but we're all called to occupy our space where we are. So that whether that's in our home, whether that's on the job, whether that's in family, business, wherever I go, I'm on duty. And so are you. Wherever you go, you're on duty. And you say, but I'm not this, or I'm not that, or I'm not, you know, if I was only as eloquent as this person, if I could only sing like this person, if I only had as much money as that person, if you see what you're doing is you're now saying, my effectiveness is based on me and what I bring to the table. Right? But the Bible says here that when he comes upon you, you shall receive power or the ability to do what I've called you to do. So if he asks you to do something, it's not about you as far as having the ability. What it is about you is you having the obedience. Let me say that again. It's not about you having the ability. It's about you having obedience. Again, I've said this many times, but I think it's true. And thinking about what does it mean to be a successful Christian? I mean, how many want your Christianity to be successful? And there's a verse in the Bible that we all aspire to when we go to heaven and we see Jesus. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, instead of, well, you're done. Right? We want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the way that you get there to the well done and faithful servant is just hear and obey. So success in Christianity is hear and obey. And each of us have something different to hear and obey to. Of course, we have the written word of God, which is what we obey, right? But we also have to begin to develop and really recognize the relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit on the inside, right? You know, we do so and we pray. I want to be careful, but we pray some silly prayers. God be with me. Huh? He said he'd never leave you or forsake you. Jesus said that when you become born again, you'll have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of you. God be with me. He's already with me. Right? It's up to me to just begin to recognize that and walk in the faith of that, whether I feel anything, whether I sense anything, he's with me. So instead of praying, God be with me today, it's like, Lord, I thank you that you're with me today. Right? Not based on me, not based on what I've done, but you said you would be, so I thank you that you're with me today. And I don't care if I'm not feeling good. I don't care if there's confusion all around me, Lord. I'm thanking you that you're with me, right? So again, we want to come to the place where we understand that he's with us and he's in us. But in this particular chapter in verse 4, again, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Don't you think this freaked them out a little bit? Nobody had spoken in tongues before. Nobody had received a prayer language before. This was the first time ever that this happened. But they were also filled with the Spirit of God. It's just something that started to bubble out of them. But watch this. I want to point this thing out to you very clearly and speak on it for just a minute. It says, and they were all filled. Who were filled? They were, right? So it said, and began to speak with other tongues. Who began to speak with other tongues? What's that? They did, right? Many times people are wanting to receive a prayer language or be filled with the Spirit of God, and they just sit there like this. And they're expecting the Spirit of God to somehow take over their bodies and possess them and speak through them. You know, that would be weird. That would be Holy Ghost ventriloquism, right? And that's not what happens. The Spirit of God who dwells on the inside of us gives us utterance. What are utterance? Utterance are just thoughts or something to say, right? So it's from our spirits that these words come from. And they come up out of our mouth and we begin to speak them, right? Again, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I didn't know anything about it. I couldn't argue against it. Couldn't tell you, you know, scripturally, because I didn't know any scripture, whether it was of God or not of God. But the more I study, the more I find out it was God. But God needed my faith, first of all, that what he was saying was true, and that the fact that he promised to me that I could do it, but it was up to me to yield to it. Right? And again, the way, that's the way that the person did it with me. She said, you just lift up your hands and start saying hallelujah. I can do that. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And she said, your tongue is going to get thick and it may sound like baby talk or babbling or whatever, but just start letting come out whatever comes out. Right? Hallelujah, hallelujah. It just started coming out and developed. In fact, there's one fellow who got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'll explain that a little bit later, but he got filled with the Spirit and believed God, and the only thing he got was abala. Abla, or something like that. Just a couple of syllables, and he just repeated that over and over again. And he would constantly be saying, pray for me that I might get more language. And we got so tired of hearing just that, it was like, Lord, please, just dump something on him. Different, right? But we're going to see in a minute what is very profound, that even just a few syllables are powerful, right? So again, it's been ever since I got saved that I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. But I do the speaking. The Holy Spirit gives the words. Right? Very important. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians again. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Some people feel like that this went away with the, you know, like, many other things. They don't believe God does miracles now. They don't believe God speaks to us now. They don't believe that there are any more apostles. They don't believe it's like, if we still need the Holy Spirit, and we do, then the things that the Holy Spirit brings haven't changed. They're the same, right? So look at, again, verse 1 of chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Now, I just want to say this before we get into this. And just briefly, in chapter 12, the Apostle Paul, in this letter that he's writing to them, he's saying, listen, this is how God operates, and talking about the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, you know, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, all of them that are listed there. And then he goes on to talk about how the body, every one of us, God wants to use in a different way, praise the Lord. Right? But in chapter 13, he says that can get whacked out of whack unless the love is the thing that binds everything together. We have to know the love of God and operate in the love of God. It's not about me. I don't get any of the glory, any of the credit. It's about him, right? But God wants to use us for the benefit of one another, right? Glory to God. My gifting, and again, I can't get into this right now, but in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul said it this way, have you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God that's been given to me for you? In other words, like dispensing water into a glass. He poured in. God's poured this grace upon me, or this ability of His that He's given to me. But it's not for me, it's for you. Right? And so, and all of those things, we have to operate in faith, and we have to operate where we are, and we have to trust that God is going to use us. But the motivation of all of that needs to be love. Right? The love of God. For verse 1, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Watch that. He's saying, listen, I want you to pursue love, and I want you to desire spiritual gifts. And again, if you go back to chapter 12 and read through there, it'll talk about the different gifts. And he said to desire them. In other words, it's not wrong to want to be able to operate in those gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. If it's prophecy, to prophesy. If it's to speak in tongues, and speak in tongues. If it's the supernatural gift of faith, desire that. And somebody asks, well, what's the best gift? What's the best gift? And I've just said this. I don't know if it's theologically correct, but I figure out that the best gift is the one that's needed at the time. And not necessarily the one I need for me, but for the one that I need for you. Right? Because I want to get God's message to you. Right? So, again, let's read that again. He said, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And some people have got this twisted when they talk about prophecy. See, we're all supposed to be prophets. We're all supposed to be able to set dates and do names. And, well, we've found out in the last few years that prophecy is a really scary thing, because some people get it wrong, right? But watch this. Let's forget about all that for just a second. This simple word prophecy here means to speak by divine inspiration. To speak by divine inspiration. In other words, whoa, that's for the preacher. No, that's for all of us. Why? Because if you're out witnessing to your neighbor, or talking to somebody, or trying to pray for somebody that's hurting, like our neighbor Karen was this morning, prophecy can be you being able to speak the right words at the right time to bring them comfort, you see. So all of us should know that when I go to speak to somebody, I'm not going by myself, but the Holy Spirit is going with me. And as Jesus told His disciples, don't worry about what you're going to say when you go up before all these important people. In that self-same hour, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. That's prophecy. That's being prophetic, inspired of God to say the things that you're saying. Now, we hope that all preaching is prophecy, but not all the time, right? Some people just don't get it right, and some people speak out of their flesh rather than the Spirit, and probably all of us do that. But we want to prophesy one to another. We want to have words for one another. Hallelujah. It can come in many different ways. I'm talking about speaking in tongues, and I don't want to get tied down too far in this. But did you know sometimes God will give you, and I've known people, and Lila even talked about it last week, where God used another woman and gave her a dream about Lila's daughter. Right? So sometimes prophecy can come by dream, or however God communicates with you. But again, it's not for you, it's for the person that God wants to bless through you. Right? So it says, so that's the main thing. But watch verse 2. It says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries, or divine spirits, divine secrets. So we pray in the Spirit. We're not speaking to men. We're not speaking so that men can understand us. We're speaking directly to God. Now watch this. This is very important to get. When we speak with our natural understanding, we're speaking to our mind, so that the words that we're using are to communicate something to the person that's hearing. Unless we're people who just like to hear ourselves talk. That's a whole different subject, right? But we're speaking. We've got thoughts in our minds that are trying to be spoken. But watch, when we pray in our spirits, we're praying out of our spirit. Our spirit is using our vocal cords to speak words unto God. The words that are from God, but they're back to God. And what that does actually is it establishes some things in our lives and on the earth that are spirit to spirit. That might be a little bit confusing, but hang on, right? Because when I pray in the spirit, and you know, I don't know how many hours over the years that I've been saved that I've prayed in the spirit, but it's a lot. It's a lot. And oftentimes, I have no clue what I was saying, but by faith, I know that I was praying directly to God, that God heard me, right? And that my prayers were effective because it was the Spirit of God praying according to the perfect will of God, right? We're not going to look there today, but we talked last week about in Romans chapter 8, In verse 26, it's sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit of God will give us utterance, come on, to pray out His will, right? Well, I'm not quoting that right, so I'm going to go back there right quick. It's not in the notes, but let's just go back to Romans chapter 8. I don't want to get it wrong. Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weakness. And I like this word, helps. And I've shared it with you before, but we'll share it again. This means to take hold of together with and against. And what this means is that the Holy Spirit, in our inability to know what to pray and how to pray, He takes a hold with us in unity together against whatever opposition is being against us. So the best example that I can have is that imagine that you have a big mud pit right here and it's just full of mud and it's just awful, and over here you got a line and over here you got a line and there's a rope that goes across and you're on this team and there's somebody else on this team and they're trying to pull you in and you're trying to pull them in. Well, this word helpeth means that you've got this line going, and just imagine that you're pulling and you're pretty even and you're straining, you're growing, and then somebody comes from the crowd, it happens to be like the Hulk, and he grabs a hold of that corner with you, and all of a sudden they're pulled into the pit, right? Because the Hulk is pulling with you. This is the Holy Spirit. When we start to pray and we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit of God will help us. And that's what praying in the Spirit does, is that He helps us pray effectively according to the will of God. Again, verse 29 says, for whom He foreknew, He also... Oh, excuse me. Is that the right one? Yeah. Nope, I got it wrong. Verse 27. Now He who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit knows what God is thinking because He is God. Right? And so He can pray according to the perfect will of God. So many times over the years, I've prayed in English for somebody but felt that's just not getting the job done. But then I go over and start praying in the Spirit, and it does get the job done. Because I know that the Spirit of God, through my spirit, is praying exactly what the person needs. Does that make sense to everybody, right? So praying in the Spirit and praying in your prayer language is vital when you're praying for other people. And Watch this. But all of our prayers must be prayed in faith. Glory to God. And praying in the Spirit is something that's supernatural. You're praying out the mysteries of God. Hallelujah. Go with me back to, and we'll go back to 1 Corinthians in just a minute, but go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, he said, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Who is that for? Was it just for them? No, I think it's for all believers, right? Because we're going to see that in just a second. He said, "And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons." How many can cast out a demon by your own strength? In your own name. Doesn't happen, right? It says, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. These are all things that were imparted to us when the Holy Spirit came upon us to have the ability to do what He's asking us to do, right? And one of these supernatural acts is speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit, praying with the Spirit, or having the Spirit pray through us. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Hallelujah. Verse 2 again says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." So we're praying in the Spirit, we're building ourselves up spiritually. Right? And what that means is you're putting into your spirit, into your soul, into your heart, the things that you need for a future event. When you pray in the Spirit, oftentimes you're praying about things that are going to come, and you're building yourself up in your spirit. Watch this. This is so important. Why is this? Does everybody need to pray in the Spirit? No. Not everybody needs to do a lot of things. But if you can, why not? Right? We're going to pray in the Spirit because it's edifying us. It's building us up. There are many times where I've faced something and I didn't know exactly what I was supposed to do, but I began to pray in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit, and I began to get strength on the inside. And I'm not saying that I got the answer from this, you know, voice that's coming from heaven and I see a vision, all that. That has never happened to me, but I knew that I knew on the inside that everything was all right, or there was a peace about going a certain direction. I've told you this story before, and there was years ago, because of some decisions that we made and some things that didn't happen and go exactly right, we came home and On the door of the house, there was a foreclosure notice on our house. You know, that'll get your attention. You know you're behind, but that'll get your attention. And, I went to prayer, went in my prayer closet, which was my recliner. And I sat in my recliner and began to pray. And in English, I said, "Lord, now look at... I don't blame you for any of this, Lord. This is on me. I should have done some things differently. But Lord, as long as I have Renita and the kids at the time, as long as they're with me, I can live in a tent and be satisfied because you're with me. But I'm bringing this before you, and I'm just yielding this to you. I don't know exactly what to do, Lord, so I'm yielding to you." And I just began to pray in the Spirit. And I don't know how long I prayed. It wasn't very long, maybe 10 or 15 minutes in the Spirit. And Now, let me just say this, that how many know that when you're trying to hear from God and you're just trying to get quiet before God, your mind oftentimes races? You get all these thoughts, what I could do, what I should do, what they said, what he said, what they, you know, you get all these things rolling around in your head. Well, one of the things for me is praying in the Holy Ghost, and especially if I'm by myself, I can pray loudly in the Holy Spirit. Plus, I have a scripture usually on my mind, and that allows me to get rid of all of the white noise, if you will. And it allows me to get to where I can hear something other than what are coming from my thoughts. So I did that, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit. What was I praying? I was praying out mysteries. I was praying out the will of God. I was praying out those things in the Spirit. I got quiet, and the Spirit of God said to me, "Don't worry, everything will be all right. You won't lose this home." Now, there was no way in the natural that that was true. No way. There was no way. I couldn't make up the payments. I couldn't do whatever was necessary to do that. But, you know, God did it. In fact, Donnie has bought that house. We've just built the ADU on the front of the property, and we're still there. Why? Because the Holy Spirit gave that to me. Now, I could have worried and fussed and you know, did all of those things, but praying in the Holy Ghost got my heart quiet to the place where I could pray out those mysteries, but then I could hear what God was saying to me, right? I can't necessarily prove this scripturally, but I know experientially that it's true, that the more you pray in the Holy Ghost, the more active you are in hearing God and listening to the Holy Spirit when He wants to use you in a special way. It just works out that way. If I pray more in the Holy Ghost, then it seems like I'm more anointed on Sunday morning. When I pray in the Holy Ghost, I'm more apt to be used in the gift of prophecy. When I pray in the Holy Ghost, sometimes, you know, the gifts of healings will, words of knowledge will start to come. The more that I pray in the Holy Spirit, the more apt I am to be used that way, praying in the Holy Ghost. Let's look at verse 14 right now, because this is really interesting, and we'll be using this in a little bit. "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." What does that mean? I have no idea what I'm saying, but I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. Verse 15, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding." So, and in another place in this, Paul said this. He said, "I thank God that I pray in the Spirit," or pray in tongues, "more than y'all." See, he was from the South. Praying more than y'all, right? No, what he was saying is, I praise God for the speaking in tongues. And I pray in tongues constantly, is what he was saying. But let's go back to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Why am I saying this? I think it's important that we as a church, a body of believers, begin to pray in the Spirit more than we have been recently. And sometimes, again, these things we know, but we let them slip. But I believe in this hour, at this time, with as much confusion that we're facing, that we need to hear from God. We need to move with God. We need to operate in God. Because if things keep going downhill, and if we're in the last days, they're going to, we're going to need to know what to do, when to do, how to do, you know, why to do, where to do, right? And if we know that we know that we know that God is leading us that way, the outcome will not affect us as much, right? Right. I mean, Paul, he was headed to Jerusalem, and God had told him he'd be going to Rome someday, and all of that, and yet he spent 2 years in prison before he was moved and finally taken in shackles to Rome. But he knew in his spirit that he was going, and that he was going there for purpose. You see, even if they slay me, I will praise your name comes from the spirit of knowing of whose you are and who you serve. So we have to know that even if I stand up for what's right in the Bible and God is telling me not to cave to anything and I do that and my friends leave me, my family leaves me, everybody, I am determined that I'm not going to betray him to please you. But sometimes we need strength in order to do that because it can get rough. It can get tough. But watch this. Even in debating or talking with somebody that you have a disagreement with, sometimes praying in the Spirit can give you the very thing that the answer. Now, let me give you an example of that. Pastor friend of mine, he's from Tacoma, and he was in this building that they were renting and occupying, and the health department or somebody came by, the fire marshal, whatever, and said, "Well, you can't meet here." "Really? Yep, nope, there's no sprinklers in this room." "Okay, but the building was built before the sprinkler codes. Sorry, you can't meet here." And so he was going to these hearings, right? And it was before the judge, and it wasn't going very well for him, it didn't seem like, with the people that he was talking to. And so at a recess, he just started praying in the Spirit, just praying in the Holy Ghost. And this particular man that I'm talking about probably prays in the Spirit a lot more than most people that I know. And he was just praying in the Holy Ghost, and he was heading back into the room, and the Holy Spirit said to ask them if they had a sprinkler system in this building. And he asked that, and it was almost like, case dismissed, let's go on. Right? Let's not bring up that can of worms. But you see, who would have thought of saying something like that? But the Holy Spirit, by him praying it out, gave him that. Well, that never happens to me. Well, have you believed for that to happen for you, and have you prayed in the Holy Ghost for something like that to happen to you? Chapter 9, verse 17. This is a story about when Saul, who later became known as Paul, got saved. It says, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, laying hands on him. He said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" Now, I'm not sure, but I believe that Paul or Saul probably gave his heart to the Lord, right? The minute the Lord knocked him off his horse and he said, "Lord, who are you?" "I'm Jesus, who you're persecuting." "I guess you're right. Then I'm gonna follow you." But there's a subsequent act. You get saved and you have the Spirit living on in the inside of you. And every believer has the Holy Spirit. But there's a subsequent thing that you get filled with the Spirit. And one, if not the initial evidence of that, as it was in Acts chapter 2, is praying in the Spirit, receiving your prayer language. Glory to God. I've got so many to go. Go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 44. And again, this was the time when God sent him to the Gentiles, and you know, Jews didn't go to Gentiles at that time because they were unclean as far as the Jews were concerned. But God sent them through, you know, vision of the sheep and the unclean animals, and finally God just said to them, "You don't call unclean what I call clean." I think we could use a little bit of that today, right? You don't call them of the devil if they're of me. Get out of that, right? There are so many things going around with the Facebook prophets and the Facebook, you know. Anyway, I'm going to get off on something. Let's not do that. Verse 44, again. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all of those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many came with Peter, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered. It said they were all amazed. What does that look like? They went, mouth open and what's happening here? I thought we were special. I thought this was just for the Jews, but no, God was signifying that no, my spirit can dwell in anybody who will believe. Right? But watch this. It said, for they heard them speak with other tongues. The Jews that were with them heard them praying in a language that they knew that they didn't know. Right? But I like this next part. And magnify God. Magnify God. Now, just from an English standpoint, what does something, if something is magnify something, what does it do? Makes it bigger, right? If your readers aren't working, and on some of these packages for us that are more mature, and you really want to read that fine print, you got to get out that old thing and kind of focus in there, and because it says it's magnifying, it's making it bigger so that you can understand it. So watch this. They heard them speak with other tongues, but in them speaking in other tongues, they were making God bigger. Woo! So one of the benefits of praying in the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit will let you know He's got this and He's bigger than your situation and that His power is enough to get you through whatever you're going through. How many have needed direction in your life and it was like, I don't know what to do? Anybody ever said that? I don't know what to do. Well, then apparently we haven't read James chapter 1 where it says that He'll give to us liberally the wisdom that comes from Him. And so what we have to do is we have to, it's not bad to get counsel from out here, but sometime you're going to have to shut that all off and listen to the counsel that's coming from your spirit. Because here's the deal, nobody's going to answer for you on the day of judgment but you. Oh, you don't understand. You don't understand. Mary said, right? Or pastor said, or prophet so-and-so said. No, it's what has God said on the inside of you. And have you prayed and prayed enough to really hear what God is saying? And sometimes, look at, it's a fight to get quiet enough to hear, isn't it? Especially when pressure is coming. I don't have the money, Lord. I don't have the money, Lord. I don't have the money, Lord. I've got to know what to do. I've got to know what to do. I've got to, Lord, I'm just going to pray in the Holy Ghost and get quiet. But here's the deal with that. When you pray in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you, He doesn't give you the 10-year plan. Doesn't give you a 10-year plan. Like, here's what's going to happen in the next 10 years. Oftentimes, He gives you the first step plan. Right? The first step plan. What does that mean? Do this. But Lord, here's the whole situation. Lord, You're telling me to do this. Just do this. Just do this. The miracle is coming in the obedience of doing what He tells you when you get quiet. Trust me. Come on, God, I need more than that. Trust me. Wait a minute. Lord, You are faithful. Yeah, Lord, You have done so many things for me in the past. Wait a minute, God. This is nothing for You. Right? So I can trust You in the midst of this. Praying in the Holy Ghost for yourself when your mind is going racing can get you to the place where you'll begin to magnify God in your thoughts rather than the opposition. And it can bring a great place of peace. Hallelujah. Let's go. Anybody getting anything this morning? Acts chapter 19. It says, as it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper region, came into Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard there whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Now, what was John's baptism? It was a baptism of water into repentance, but it was also a baptism into believing for the Messiah, who he was the forerunner to. Right? Okay, now watch. This is so good. And then Paul said, John indeed baptized a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now some people believe that you're not saved until you're water baptized. But I don't necessarily believe that. In fact, I know that that's not true. How do I know that's true? I know that I was saved before I got baptized. Baptism in water is subsequent to you giving your heart to Jesus, right? And it's symbolic of what's happening on the inside of you. And then when Paul had, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Here's these people who are going after John's, and they're zealous. They're after God. But the minute that they got filled with the Spirit, they began to prophesy some things. In other words, they began to speak in their own language, but they were just baptized in the Holy Spirit. They really knew nothing about the Spirit-filled life, but the Spirit of God inside of them equipped them to say some things that were of divine inspiration. Now I got to tell you, this is powerful for us who seem unqualified. Anybody ever felt unqualified? Who am I, God? This is just me. You know, Lord, I'm not this or I'm not that, or I don't have this education or I don't have that education. Well, I'm telling you, praying in the Holy Ghost, right? It the Lord will speak some things into your spirit that you can begin to speak out. And again, it's interesting because oftentimes when God gives you prophetic words, again, He doesn't give you paragraphs. It starts out with, tell them I love them, right, or something. Tell them that I, but what else, Lord? Tell them that I love, but Lord, let me get a little bit more, because that they need, tell them that I love them, right? And you begin to do that by this inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and then some more words might come out, or some more words come out, or that might be all that they need. Let me give you a couple examples of that. And this is all through praying things out in the Holy Spirit. I had a friend, and he had met this guy, and in prayer, the fellow, and I'm just going to call, I don't remember his name, isn't it? John. He called John. He said, you know, John, I felt like the Lord wanted me to call you. And he said, don't say anything else. He said, because I was just in my prayer closet and said, God, do you even know where I am? Do you even speak to anymore? Do you even, you know, am I doing, you know. In other words, this man who was praying in the Holy Ghost got an impression to call John and didn't know what he was going to say. But all he had to say was this, I felt like God wanted me to call you. What was he doing? He was prophesying out of his prayer time. Do you see what I'm saying? So good. So good. So good. So good. There's another time where it was a church service, and my habit is to pray in the Holy Spirit before I come to church and just pray some things out. But in this particular service, and I've told you the story before, but I'm praying some things out, and the Spirit of God is moving, and somebody comes up for prayer, and I laid hands on them, and this is what I saw. I've told you the story before, but I saw this woman as a little girl preaching to chickens. What do you do with that? Well, I wanted to just not say anything, right? But I was obedient, and I said, you know, if this is, doesn't make any sense, you just stop me, and I'll stop and repent or whatever. But the Holy Spirit showing me you preaching to chickens when you were a little girl. And she just started crying. Because her mother was a pastor back when it wasn't good for women to be pastors, right? But she would line up chickens in her mom's home and put them out there and start to proclaim the gospel to them when she was a little girl. And the Lord used that for me to say to her that you have felt all these years you've wasted because you haven't preached, but God will give you the opportunity to preach. Right? I didn't know anything, right? But the Holy Spirit, by my praying that out beforehand, gave me that little picture that ministered to her. Right? That's what praying in the Spirit does for us. Glory to God. Verse 6 again, when they had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. For they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So just seeing this and seeing out of this, a couple of things. We can expect or know that part of the advantages to praying in the Holy Spirit is that we're praying, even when we don't know what to pray, but we're praying according to this perfect will of God. That's awesome. But another thing is that from the inside, if we'll get quiet and listen, praying in the Holy Spirit can bring God to a place where He's bigger in us than He's ever been. And bigger than the situation that we're facing. And the third thing is we're praying in the Holy Spirit and we'll listen, then God can give me a word for you. And part of that is birthed out of me praying in the Holy Ghost. And again, sometimes praying in the Holy Ghost isn't praying for today, but it's praying for your future. And when your future comes, you won't have to say, well, wait a minute, I need to go pray in tongues for an hour. You'll already be built up and your battery is charged so that you can speak into that situation right now. Right now. Right now. Glory to God. I was in Tulsa and came back, and my trip back was fun because I got the planes delayed and all that. I got to spend the night in Las Vegas in a hotel room, right? Praise God for that. I didn't have to sleep in the airport, right? But when I got back to the parking lot where my car was parked, they said, we had to jump start your car because of the cold. And I went, that's kind of weird. But I'm thinking, they had a charger there that they go out to the car and put to the battery, and that battery would start. Why? Because built up in that charger was enough juice to get it going. So what I'm saying is not only can we charge up our own batteries, but God can use us to jump charge somebody else's battery. And our praying in tongues will give that charge on the inside of us so that we can share it with somebody else. Amen? Amen. Praying in the Holy Ghost. If you've never received your prayer language and you'd like to, you know, come to church next week. I'll lay hands on you, but you can get it right now. You can have it right now by believing that it's for you and that God will speak to you. And what do? You just get quiet before God and you say, Lord, I know that you said you never would withhold from me any good thing. And you promised the Holy Spirit to me. And so I have the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. And I just receive my prayer language by faith in Jesus' name. And then just get quiet before Him and just begin to praise Him and worship Him. And then just allow your vocal cords to speak what's coming out of your spirit. And begin to speak those words and He'll give you a prayer language. Many times I've seen people who've had a prayer language on their lips, I've even heard them speak a few syllables, but their mind shuts down their spirit and won't allow that to come forth. Don't let that happen to you. Just trust God and allow the Spirit of God, you know, to speak through you. Amen. Hallelujah. For those who've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, it will, if you'll exercise it, open up a whole different level of the Spirit of God for you. So let's just pray right now in Jesus' name. If you've never been saved, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, or if you've been saved but you're cold, you just gone cold for the Lord and you're not walking with Him like you should. Right now, wherever you are, if you're in the room or if you're at home, you can be assured that He's listening to you and that He will never, ever, ever turn His back on you. So if you'll pray, He'll answer your prayer. So I'm going to pray a general prayer over all of us, and those in the room can pray it with me. But if you're at home, pray this and believe this, because the Bible says if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Messiah, He's the one that I need for my sins, then I'll be saved. So pray this with me. Just say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I've sinned. I've fallen short of Your glory. There's no way I can enter into heaven because of my holiness. I need a Savior, and I'm convinced that Jesus is my Savior. So I believe in my heart, and I'm saying with my mouth, Jesus, You are my Lord. I believe that, Lord. I receive that. And Lord, I not only believe that He died for my sins, but that He was raised again for my justification. And so, Lord, I believe, because I've accepted Jesus, that I'm right with You. Thank You for that, Lord. Thank You for that, Lord. And Lord, now that I'm right with You and Your Spirit is on the inside of me, I pray for my prayer language. Holy Spirit, give me the utterance, and I'll give it voice right now, wherever you are, right now, if you're in the room or if you're at home, just right now, just begin to speak. That's right. Just begin to speak. If it's just a little syllable, just begin to speak in Jesus' name. Yeah, that's it. Just keep speaking it. Pray it as often as you can. Continue to pray it. Pray it on your way home from church or on your way somewhere. If you're at home and you're with somebody and you're both believers, just spend a few minutes this afternoon praying in the Holy Ghost and look at what the Lord will do. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. Amen.